bless you richly in your own soul as we consider the word together. And while it is primarily a gospel meeting tonight, we trust that God's people will be blessed as we consider again what the Lord can do for needy men and women all around us. A special word of welcome to those from Agalee Free Presbyterian Church who are listening. We do trust that the Lord will meet your need in the coming days. And do remember, please, as we pray one for another, remember especially those who are laid aside, that the Lord might raise them up and as well to a good measure of health and strength again. You might remember as well the young people associated with the congregation as they face the school situation and the university circumstances in the coming days. Maybe not too sure exactly what's happening, but the Lord will undertake for them and that he will meet their need and make things plain for them and keep them in good health and strength and soundness of mind as well in these days. Do please remember our prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. We will be meeting on Zoom at 8 o'clock. During that time, we will share a short word together, then seek the Lord together in prayer. And we trust that you will avail yourself of the opportunity to be there. You don't have to go very far, just over to the phone or to the computer. And it's great to have the opportunity just to seek the Lord as a body of people. If there are any other crises or any needs, spiritual needs, please do let me know. And I will do my best to help you in any way that I can. As you know, we're very restricted at the moment when it comes to visiting and so on. But just do trust that the Lord will undertake for us in these days. We're all praying that before too long, the virus will be suppressed and that things will change in the country and we'll be able to get back to a good deal of normality. We desperately need that. It's coming up to a year now since we really had the normality that we had, and we are looking to the Lord that he would answer prayer for us. I also want to remind everyone that's listening about the special time of prayer again on Saturday the 30th of January. It is on Zoom, being organised by our presbytery. There are details of that on Agalee Free Presbyterian Church Facebook page, and you will find them on the Free Presbyterian Church page as well. You'll find details there regarding how to register and so on for the prayer times. The two times are 10 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we do trust if you can come and join in any of those times that you will do that. It will be of great benefit to you personally and also to the work of the Lord and to the great need that there is in the land at this time. So again, we do welcome you all, and we trust that the Lord will even give all of us tonight occasion to praise him for his continual goodness to us, even during this lockdown period. We don't want to forget the NHS workers and all that they do. Some of them are growing weary, and we know that the stress and anxiety and those issues that are affecting people in different areas are affecting some of them now as well. Some of them are showing great fortitude and strength in this situation, but I feel that it's going on so long now that certainly with some of them, they're beginning to feel the effects of all of this, and we want to pray very much for them, that the Lord would undertake for them and that he would steer the country through this thing. And even during all of what really is a time of darkness, a great challenge in the country, that the Lord would draw men and women to himself. So let's double our efforts to pray for our unsaved loved ones, that even during these days that he might be pleased to speak to them. We just have a wee word of prayer then as we seek the Lord, and then we read the word and have a thought or two upon the word tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the Lord's day and for the opportunity this evening again just to come aside and to share the word, to read it together, to look at it, to seek to bring the thoughts of men and women to Christ, to all that he is. We thank you, Lord, tonight for his person and work for us. Thank that he, Lord, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We thank you, Lord, tonight for what salvation has brought to our lives. And Lord, we're asking for those who are watching or listening tonight, whether it's in Facebook or in sermon audio, and wherever they are, we pray that the Lord would use this word to speak to consciences, to speak to hearts, and that men and women's hearts might be opened, might be a turning from sin and there might be that repentance unto life. To that end, we pray you'd be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're looking tonight in the book of Zechariah, please, and chapter 9. Just want to read a few verses there. Zechariah chapter 9. If you know anything about this book, Christian, you'll know that at the beginning of the book, there are great days of trouble and despair. And then toward the end, things are quite different in the situation and experience of Zechariah. We're reading there in chapter 9 and verse 9. It says in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water." Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless his word this evening, again publicly read to all of our hearts. In this passage that we have read from here tonight, we are reading something of the experience of Zechariah. Zechariah had his responsibility and duty for the Lord during approximately the same time as Haggai. And you will know about the 70-year captivity and how the opportunity had arisen for the exiles there to go back to Jerusalem and to build the house of the Lord. Now, many of them had gone back, but it was quite a while before the house of the Lord was built again. Human nature had come to the fore, and people there had been, well, they had been seeking to please themselves. They had not been as trustworthy as they should have been in doing what they were should have been doing. There was many of them who were very timid. And it was at that time that Haggai and Zechariah were raised up to kindle, as it were, in the hearts of the people an interest again in the house of the Lord and that on the things that they ought to be doing for him. You can certainly say that Zechariah knew what it was to live through a time of declension and darkness. And so it is for believers right now in the United Kingdom. We're living in a day of darkness, and wickedness seems to be gathering momentum. And when we take into the equation the pandemic that we're going through, we can certainly say, Christian, that you're living through challenging times. But there are days of great declension, and days when God's people can become, we can become materialistic, we can become disillusioned, and we can even get to that point where we're not seeing to the work of the Lord in the way that we should. And every one of us want to ask the Lord tonight to stir our own hearts, to come and revive us. And one of our, in our prayer meeting there recently, one of the ladies was praying, just last week it was, that the Lord would come and revive our hearts. You see, there's honesty there, and there's the acknowledging of that need of reviving, and also a recognition of the danger that is all around us when we're not able to be in our meetings the way that we formerly were. There's a danger of growing cold. And when we grow cold, we can become careless as well. But it's good to remember that the Lord is in control. Now, as we come to chapter 9, there's so much in that chapter that we could study that would bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ and to what he is to his people, and to what God can still do for his church. It says there in verse 10, "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim And the horse from Jerusalem, on the vast majority of occasions when the horse is mentioned in association with people in the Bible, it is mentioned as a symbol of worldly power. And really we're reading in this verse 10 that this is not an obstacle to the Lord working. Folks, all around us, there seems to be obstacles to the Lord's work going forward. But remember, he's in control. And it says there in that verse 10, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth. God's work goes on. God is reaching the lost. He is sending out his missionaries still. There are men and women who are coming to him, and lively stones are being added every day into that great edifice, which is the Church of Christ. Don't forget that, Christian, that the Lord is still building his church. But as I look at these words tonight, found in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 11, I'll read the words that I want to draw your attention to. It says, I have sent forth my prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. Most commentators believe that that's a reference to Babylon. And certainly, in the context, it is very important to study it in that way. But as we look at the words tonight, I see a very clear gospel message here. It says, I have sent forth my prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. And I want to give a title tonight to our short message. And the title is, Out of the Pit. We're drawing your attention tonight, unsaved man or woman, to those who are still in their sin. The first thought that I want you to think of, to bring to your attention tonight, is the thought of destitution. You can hardly think of anything more miserable or unhappy or anything that is more despairing than being in a pit. Place, it says here, out of the pit where no water is. And a person who would be in a pit would be suffering. They would be suffering from, number one, they would be suffering from restlessness, that uneasiness, and not knowing what was going to happen, but being made conscious by the very experience of being in the pit that it was a place that you could not find your own way out of. So it is for unsaved people tonight, wherever they are. Doesn't matter what way you've been brought up. There is, among men and women in general, those in their sin this evening, a great restlessness. I went into the company of a few men not very long ago, and one of the men that knew me, he introduced me and he said, well, this is the Reverend Salt. And one of the men there, he was jesting, but this is what he said. He said, oh, you should come with me and I will learn you how to say, I will learn you, that's the word he used, I will learn you how to say bad words. And I just looked at him, I said, no, thank you, I'll not go there. And then he was civil after that. But as I looked around me, there were three or four other men there, and I listened to them. It was very obvious to me that here were men who would probably have done anything for each other. And if I had asked them to help me in some way, there's no question but they would have gone out of their way to try to do that as well. But it was very obvious, folks, that there was with them great restlessness, because I could hear them talking about things that they did, places they'd gone. And it was obvious that they were grasping at straws. They were looking for something to deal with the restlessness. I asked you personally today, have you, first of all, recognized that being in your sin, and that's where men are naturally, that being in your sin is like being in a pit, and you're in a situation and there's no way out of it for you. And it's a situation which has brought great restlessness and great concern to your life. Think of a man in the Bible called Nicodemus. He was viewed as very important by some. He's quite religious. But he was concerned. And he came slipping along the shadows of the city one night to where the Lord Jesus was. And his one aim in coming to where Christ was to inquire about eternal life. He seemed to have a lot going for him. But he was just like those men I mentioned to you just a few moments ago. And maybe just like you tonight, he was filled with restlessness. And I wonder this evening, is that your lot this Sunday night? You think of destitution here, the thought of being in a pit. There is the thought of restlessness, but then the thought of raging thirst. Says there about a pit where there is no water. And as you look at those words and you focus on them, the thought is here of a thirst that is getting worse by the minute. What an awful thing to be without water. It is said that if people go without water for long enough, that they begin to imagine that they see water. You know, the prophet Isaiah, when he was preaching and he was seeking to reach the men and women around him, he knew that where he lived, there were people who were restless. But he knew in the people that were passing by in the area that he was in, that there were those who had a raging thirst. And it wasn't for physical drink, for a glass of water, but rather their need was spiritual. And this is what he says over in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, or stop, everyone that thirsteth. And that's what we say to you tonight. Stop if you're thirsting. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. That's an invitation. It's an invitation to come to Christ. And tonight, that is the invitation that the Lord, through me and other preachers, presents to you. Whether it is this evening on a live broadcast from a church somewhere or in Facebook or in sermon audio, the invitation is to come ye to the waters. Now you don't need anything. For Isaiah said, come ye to the waters, and ye that have no money, come ye buy and eat, ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This, as I have often said, is the best offer that the sinner will ever have. For it is salvation as it's found freely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on to me, all ye that thirst. And I wonder tonight, men and women, maybe you're honest enough, maybe you're brought up in the Word. You've heard it all before. And you know about the destitution. You know that sin is like being in a pit. And you've experienced something of the restlessness. You still are experiencing. And you know about the raging thirst, but think to the pit again. There's something else here. There's a thought of rapid deterioration. How long can a man live in a pit with no water? Not very long. And in a matter of hours, his situation will be deteriorating rapidly. Bible has something to say to us about time. And it asks the question, we're asked the question there in the book, James, what is your life? And maybe you think it's something that is very, very long. And maybe you feel that it'll just go on and you don't really want to think about the end of it at all. But James also gives the answer. He says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. And men and women, with all of us, there is that rapid deterioration. We're all on a highway that is bringing us to eternity. Eternity in heaven with those who are saved, or eternity in hell with those who are not saved. And again, as you listen tonight, you fit into one of the two camps. There's no middle ground. And I wonder, as you look upon life itself, can you recognize that there is a rapid deterioration? That sin has been doing its work? Maybe it fascinated you at a time, and you chased after what sin had to offer. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. Maybe it was a month. Maybe it was years. But it's still just a season. And tonight finds you broken. Got to that point where you feel, well, everything is going downhill. Rapid deterioration. There's one other thought here. It is ready to perish. If you're in a pit and you don't get out, and there's no water there, one thing's for sure, you're going to die. You may go into that pit and feel that, well, I feel quite good at the moment. Well, that won't last for very long, because eventually you will perish. And folks, so many today seem to march on careless and thoughtless, and reading comments recently of men right across Northern Ireland, even regarding the Lord, so many saying that they don't believe there's a God, and they make fun of God, and they laugh when you tell them about one who cares for his people. The Bible tells us something about him. It says he's a God with whom we all have to do. That includes me, but it also includes you. And I asked you the question tonight. We're looking at the title here, Out of the Pit. Are you out of the pit, or are you still in it? Well, one thought here is the thought of destitution. What an awful position. There's restlessness, raging thirst, rapid deterioration, and ready to perish. Remember, the Bible tells us that the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith. Some people have done that. Even since the pandemic started here in Ulster last March or so, there are younger people and older people who've trusted the Lord. Because this pandemic brought death with it, many people have been caused to think, well, one day I'm going to die. You need to be ready. I wonder, are you ready? There is the thought here of destitution, a total destitution, that is, dead in sin. But then there is the thought of tender exhortation. You see what it says? I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit. Now, there's not man's unworthy at his very best. And I want to underline that tonight. Every one of us are unworthy at our best. But the Lord finds us tonight. And sinner, he finds you not as you would perhaps want him to find you. But if you're not saved, he finds you in a state of destitution. And being in that state of destitution, his tender exhortation to you tonight is to come from your sin. Calls you to come out of your sin into his marvelous light. Maybe God has spoken to your heart through sorrowful times. And you saw maybe someone that you knew. You saw them leave this scene of time, and death has come. And God has softened your heart. And he's spoken to you. Then after a time, you harden your heart again. Maybe you've gone along to a gospel mission, and the Lord has spoken to your heart, and your heart has been softened. But tonight you're still not saved. You've heard the exhortation of the Lord from the preachers, whether it was in church or in a gospel mission, in a hall or a tent or somewhere else. Or maybe someone witnessing to you. And every one of them in their witness exhorted you, as God's servants, they exhorted you to turn from your sin and come. Come, the way you were, but come to him. And I was just a teenager. I went on one occasion with my father, and I think my brother as well. I can't remember exactly what age I was, probably 13 or 14. I went to a mission in an Orange Hall that wasn't very far away from where we lived. I can't remember exactly who was preaching there, but I remember a lot of the people who went there. And you know, that's a long time ago. I wasn't saved then, but I'm saved now. But you know, there were a lot of the people who were there who were quite a bit older than me, and so many of them have gone. Some of them have gone to be with the Lord. And you know, there are so many of them. And I'm not being a judge tonight. So many of them left this scene of time, and they left behind no profession. Now, only the Lord knows where they stand or where they stood with him when they died. But they're gone. And as I thought of that mission and all of those people who were there, I remember that night that we went, it was full. The little hall was full. So many people I knew. One by one, they've went away. I wonder, are you going to squander this opportunity? Come. As God tenderly exhorts you tonight to come forth, it says here, I have sent forth thy prisoners. The word comes to you and tells you to flee. Flee to Christ for refuge. Find safety in him. You haven't done it. Yet God tonight again is tenderly exhorting you to come. I love the words of the hymn that tell us softly and tenderly Jesus is calling to you and to me. Goes on to say in that hymn, he's calling, O sinner, come home. I wonder, would you not come tonight? Leave the pit. Our salvation is all of God. That's for sure. And if you're ever born again, it will be because God saved you. But you have a responsibility not just to think about what you're hearing tonight. You have a responsibility to leave your sin. It's called repentance. To repent of your sin and to turn to him. Out of the pit, there is the thought of destitution. That's where so many still are, total destitution. The thought of tender exhortation. The Lord is still good. Still sending preachers. Still sending tracts out. Still sending people to sing the gospel and to give their testimony. It's been good to you. Tonight again, he tenderly exhorts you to be done with your sin and to embrace the Lord Jesus as he's offered to you the gospel. One final thought here, it is a thought of transforming realization. You see, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. You're in the pit. You're told there's a way out. You need to go. I already mentioned that. But I want to say regarding going that you need to go to Christ and you need to go now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't waste another moment. Flee to Christ now. Call upon him while you may. While he is tenderly exhorting you to come, may there be that transforming realization in your heart. You need to get out of the pit. You see, every time when the gospel is preached and we talk about Christ and his work of redemption and the free offer of the gospel, how his blood was shed for the remission of our sin, and how man can be saved for all eternity if they will turn, there comes that time when the message is being preached. When people do one of two things. They either receive Christ, come as a sinner to him, or they reject him. With some, there is that realization that they need to come now, and they do come, and their lives are transformed. That can be your experience tonight, if you will come. There's a fellow I know very well. He was best known for his terrible language and for his wild and selfish living. One day he heard the gospel and he realized that he needed to come. And this evening, or right up until this evening, he's a bright and shining light for the Lord, because his life was totally transformed. Transformed because he realized he had responsibility, but realized he needed to go now to the Lord. You need to go to the Lord. You need to go now to the Lord. I want to say to you, if you go now and are saved, you'll not need to go again, because he will save you for all eternity. And all the baggage that you're worrying about, all of those things that you don't know how you're going to handle situations and what people will think, you need to see those as the secondary matters that they are. The primary matter tonight is being saved by God's grace, and you need to come. Remember the title of our message, Out of the Pit. That's where every sinner is. And a place of total destitution. Are you facing up to that tonight? A place where there's tender exhortation. The Lord, He has sent the word to you. But you need to get out. You need to come to him. Take the sinner's place. I trust tonight that you will do that. And for you, there will be that transformation, that you'll be brought out of nature's darkness into the light and the life and the liberty and the love that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust whoever you are tonight. Recognize your need. This very Sunday evening, you will get out of the pit. May the Lord deal with your heart and draw you savingly to himself.